The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
One of the benefits for students who attend research universities, such as UW-Milwaukee, is the opportunity to work closely with faculty members who are on the cutting edge of new discoveries. This year, UWM has begun a program that's making it possible for students to take a great idea that they come up with and launch their own business around that idea. It's called the Student Startup Challenge, and there's real money involved. Three $10,000 awards given to student teams who want to become entrepreneurs. On this edition of UWM Today, we're joined by Ilya Avdiev, who's a UWM assistant professor in mechanical engineering, and one of his students, Jesse DePinto, a senior also majoring in mechanical engineering. Jesse, Ilya, great to have you with us today. And I feel very proud, very honored. I'm in the midst of entrepreneurs, both of you interested in taking ideas and seeing how they can be developed.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great. Great having you. Ilya, tell us about this startup challenge. There was nothing like this when I was in college.
It was nothing like this when I was in college, and I was in college in two countries, in Russia and United States, where I went to graduate school. And this is definitely a unique program for me and for Jesse and for other students. Essentially, it's a new program that guides the launch of student ventures focused on technology, entrepreneurship, and innovation. And it one of those programs that gives students an opportunity to try it practically, not just learn about entrepreneurship, but actually do it.
And where did the idea come from? I mean, you know, as I mentioned, there's some real money here, many tens of thousands of dollars.
This is one of the ideas that kind of floats in the air, and a lot of people talk about it. A lot of people want to do something about it. And so there was a lot of discussions, and probably the point that kind of changed everything was me going to Babson College in January of last year, attending a symposium for entrepreneurship educators and basically seeing how the best colleges in the country teach entrepreneurship and realizing that we have all necessary resources to do it. All we have to do is just do it.
Terrific. And so, Jesse, you're one of the fortunate students to have been selected to receive one of these $10,000 grants. Tell us your story. What is the idea? What are you and your team working on?
Yeah, that's right. We were one of the three teams. My company, we had a company prior to this called 3D Creations, where we were value-added resellers of 3D printing machines. Now, these are machines the size of your microwave that will physically make objects that you can touch, coffee cups, shot glasses, whatever you want. And what we decided to do was launch a new product line within this company. And we were an early company, so we didn't have the money to do that. So we saw an advertisement for the Student Startup Challenge and saw a real opportunity to get our product line off the ground. That idea is actually a 3D scanner. So the 3D scanner complements a 3D printing machine. Basically, if you combine the two, imagine the Jetsons, where you have a 3D copy machine. You put an object in, and another one pops out the exact same.
Actually, I was thinking of an episode of Star Trek where the captain walks up to the computer and makes him something great to eat or delivers a new little handheld computer.
Yeah, that's right. I think they call it the replicator.
Right, yep. Right. Right. And so you had this idea. You would not be able to really run with it without this grant money. Is that the value of getting the $10,000?
That's right. With our company, it's a hardware company along with software. So the prototyping fees actually cost money, real money for inventory and supplies and electronics, that both money and knowledge resources that we didn't have at the time.
So when you came to UWM as a freshman, you're a senior now, did you ever imagine that you not only would be getting a great education, but also perhaps able to start your own business here?
Nope. I started in engineering and thought that that was what I was going to do my whole life, and realized there's an opportunity to merge engineering with business. And as a startup, entrepreneurship was the way to go with that. But no, to answer your question, I did not envision that. It took a lot of boring cubicle jobs and many bad office work.
We're going to come back and talk a little more about your career plans in a moment, but I want to bring Ilya back into the conversation because Jesse is a member of one of three teams. There are two other teams. Each of those received $10,000 grants to start businesses. Tell us about those projects.
Sure, Tom. The other two teams are fantastic. One is called Clever Fox, and their product is called Clever Blocks. And what it is, it's basically a novel interface to computer. If you think about how people interact with the computer throughout the history of computing, it started with a keyboard where you type text and, you know, you get maybe a command line or something like that. And eventually Windows came along with the mouse and you were able to drag things around the screen. And from one-dimensional interface, you came to a two-dimensional interface. And up until this day, we're kind of stuck in this two-dimensional interface. The new interface is your finger. Now you don't need a mouse. You can have a tablet or an iPhone or a smartphone, and you can move things around with your finger. But it's still two-dimensional. You still have a two-dimensional surface to work with. So the team came up with the idea of why not use objects around you as an interface to the computer. And it has tons of applications in education, architecture, design, and computer-aided design. So they said, okay, we'll use blocks, kind of similar to Lego blocks, as the interface to build things in a CAD environment. So if you want to design a model of an airplane, a car, or a building, or if you're a child learning computer-aided design, you just use these blocks, you build them on the surface of your table, in reality, and at the same time, the computer model is generated automatically because the blocks has communication protocol with a computer or a tablet or an iPhone.
And the value of that is that you actually are able to have that tactile experience of
exactly of
putting together and seeing what this this new product or
absolutely. You think about it as a sketching in 3D. So instead of doodling on a piece of paper, you can actually doodle with your blocks. And also another aspect of this is collaborative design. When you have a table and you can put different people of different backgrounds around it, and all of them can actually sketch something in 3D. That is absolutely new way of doing things. And so that's why I think it's very exciting.
So that's the second project.
That's the second project.
And then there's a third.
And the third project is kind of continuation of a project that started last year. And the team is called WePark, and the team is designing a hardware and software to be able to count cars on any surface, whether it's a parking lot, lakefront, college campus, yeah, among others. And what it is basically a deployable device that would probably look like an orange cone or you know, like a street sign that you can rent. Or maybe you can buy it if you own a parking lot or any surface that you want to turn into a parking lot. And it is wireless. It has its own power. So it's either battery powered or solar panel powered. And it has an interface with a server, and the server has an interface with a mobile app. So what happens is when you deploy this car counting device on your parking lot, it enables you to know how many cars are in the parking lot at any given moment, and it talks to the server and projects that information onto the network that can be accessible by anybody who has a mobile app. So
the value is not just to the person owning the parking lot, but to the person in a car who might wonder if they want to park or
correct.
Can park in
exactly.
that lot.
Exactly. So suddenly you put all the surface parking lots on the map, and as you drive around, you can see how many parking spots available anywhere as long as that piece of hardware is installed there.
Wow. These are all very, very cool ideas. As a teacher, as a faculty member, are you surprised that students are coming up with these ideas?
I'm not surprised. I've been teaching a product realization course with Professor Nathaniel Stern from Arts and Design, and he's one of the co-founders of the Startup Challenge. And we've seen a lot of creativity in our students. And that partially was the reason why we wanted to help them actually create an avenue for students to launch their own businesses. And students like to work on other people's problems, but they come up with a lot of problems of their own they want to solve. So.
What about businessmen and women who you see this work coming online at the university? Well, you may not be surprised because you're surrounded by students right. all the time. Are folks out in the business community who may not be accustomed to a 21 or a 22-year-old starting a company or coming up with an idea, do they ever express amazement or interest in this?
They do. They do. And we have people coming and visiting campus and we show them what our students are doing, and the reaction is always the same. It's typically, wow, we cannot believe that this is done at UWM. And it's true. If you look around the country, obviously there are high-profile schools like MIT, Stanford. They're always on the map, always in the news. But the quality of students is always good. It's good at UWM. It's good, you know, in many other places. The only difference between the different school is whether the school provides an opportunity for those qualities to flourish and develop into something else. And with the Startup Challenge, we actually given the students an opportunity to take it to the level where they can compete nationally sell their product or launch a company.
Yeah, you know, for the person listening to this program, they may be saying, "Wow, that's neat." But where'd all the money come from? The $30,000 that is being put into the hands of students like Jesse?
Absolutely. So the first phase, the pilot phase of this project that is currently underway, was sponsored by the College of Engineering and Applied Science. We also had some money coming from the UWM Research Foundation. And the president of Research Foundation, Brian Thompson, is another co-founder of the challenge. So we have a fantastic team of engineering, art, and professors, and Research Foundation, people who help us with intellectual property and other things. And some money came from a research competition organized by Luber School of Business. So we basically support it internally. And right now we're in the process of applying for external grants and looking for regional industry support and other groups.
Jesse, you're a member of the team. Your teammates are on winter break. They couldn't join us here in the studio. Tell us how they reacted to news that they were one of the winners, along with you, of this $10,000 prize that you could put to use.
Oh, it was great. I mean, it's the ideal scenario as a startup to have money with no strings attached other than a board of people that want to see you succeed. They have no equity in our company. It's completely non-traditional from the standard business startup financing methods. And, you know, we were extremely happy to have the best case scenario happen so soon in our business.
What sort of requirements are in place so that you actually use the money for the purpose that it was intended?
Well, in order to be considered part of the student startup teams, it has to be hardware focused or something that you can build a prototype of. It can actually be software too, but it has to be something that's a prototype and not just a business model. Now, they wanted to make sure that we were, as you were saying, using the money to the benefit that it was promised, and the purpose of that was to build a prototype with the money. So it put us in a six-month class, a one-semester class at UW-Milwaukee, where we had the task of building a prototype, and that was our milestone. So now we are actually onto the business development side of this, where we're entered in another class similar to that, where we're building a prototype of our business model, not the actual product.
And so this obviously involves another discipline. It is business. Did you ever imagine that you would be taking business classes or in a business program when you first started your college career?
No, I didn't. I thought that was the kind of stuff you learned along the way and realized that formal training for that stuff is nice. So we're working on business model building and realizing how much we didn't factor into the equation in the beginning as engineers. We were completely product-focused, and now I think we're starting to become a little more well-rounded in order to start a successful business.
How far along are you?
we actually built our first, our second successful prototype. It can take a model under 1 foot cubed and make a 3D rendering of it for you to print. And we actually we made the complete model, and now we're actually working on the third prototype in order to commercialize it.
And just so we're clear, there are some 3D printers that are out there, but there are some limitations in the ones that are there, right?
Right. The big thing is it has to be something that, on the consumer level, can be a useful plastic product. So most of the consumer home 3D printers only make plastic. You still have endless opportunities there. As you can tell, when you go to Walmart, there's millions of things you can buy that are made out of plastic. So what we're doing is giving you a better way to design that plastic object, whether it be an attachment or a bracket or parts to make another 3D printer.
Do you have any sense that that your company would actually get in the business of making products, or are you primarily focused on the printer that leads to products?
Yeah, we're primarily focused on helping other people make their own products. So we're kind of, in a sense, spurring entrepreneurship ourselves. We're giving the masses technology that was once only available to high-end engineering firms. Now they have their own rapid prototyping machines and reverse engineering machines in their garage.
So I'd like to add something to this. The 3D printers changing the world, basically turning everybody into makers. But the essential problem with 3D printers is that you still need to have a CAD model or a model of whatever you're trying to print. And a lot of people just don't have ability to develop this model. So that's why clever blocks are trying to bridge that gap. But Jesse is working from the other end, where you have a lot of objects that can be reverse engineered or scanned, and then you can build either around them or copy them. And that's something that makes 3D printing accessible to a huge population. And that that gap that is there will be definitely bridged by the tabletop 3D scanner that Jesse and Matt developing.
Very, very exciting stuff. You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So glad you're with us this week. I'm Tom Lujak. Joining me in the studio, Ilya Avdiv. He is an assistant professor in mechanical engineering at the university. And Jesse DePinto. He's a senior studying mechanical engineering and on your way to becoming an entrepreneur, a business person. Jesse, you said earlier in the program that when you first started college, you sort of imagined that at the end of 4 years, you would be ready to go into one of those cubes.
Yeah.
Working for a company, and nothing wrong with cubes. It's a space where you can be creative and be productive. As a result of this experience of having money to start your own business, build a company, do you see yourself working for someone else, or do you see yourself wanting or trying to go on your own in the future?
Well, you're always working for somebody. So whether I'm working for an investor or for a boss, that's the goal is to be starting my business and funding my business.
You're okay if you leave with this idea in mind and find yourself taking it to a big company, for example, where you might be having a boss, even though you're hoping to build this business.
Well, you know, the corporate world is nice, but it's not for everybody. And I was fortunate enough to have internships before this competition to let me realize that it wasn't for me. So, it's an ideal scenario for me to get out of college and have a job of my own, but at the same time have a fallback option of a bachelor's degree.
Right, right. Ilya, I want to ask you, there were three teams that won, but I understand that there were many, many more students who were in competition for these prizes. What sort of ideas, what sort of projects did they come up with? Was it tough to decide
who got the
prizes?
Yeah, we had 77 students applying to this competition, and they formed about 45 teams. So we had 60 projects submitted, 60 ideas. Matt and Jesse were the ones who submitted 7 ideas, and that kind of shows you how bad they want it. And we had a hard time deciding which of the ideas we would sponsor. So we had to invite external reviewers, people from academia, from the angel investment community, people from industry. And all of us basically narrowed down the field to about 25 projects. And we sat down and we looked at 25 projects, and they were ranging from 3D printing ideas to transportation ideas to consumer-based goods to cooking devices, things like that. So it was very interesting, a great mix. And it came from all parts of the campus. So it was not just engineering students. We basically had 10 colleges represented in the competition. And it was hard to pick. So we narrowed down from 25 to 10 and invited 10 teams to present, sort of like a quick pitch type of presentation, where we had an opportunity to ask questions and also look at the people behind the ideas. It's always nice to, you know, see how enthusiastic they are, whether they really want to go through, because it's tough, you know. It's when you win, you're actually beginning to work on the project. It's not the end. You're not getting a check and you're good to go. We're actually saying, okay, the work begins now.
Be careful what you wish for.
Be careful
right?
what you wish for, yeah. And I remember that first meeting when we had with all three teams, and when we said that, okay, guys, there will be milestones and the money coming with strings attached, it was reaction was interesting. It was mixed. But eventually everybody came on board and realized that we're only trying to help them reach certain goals. And like Jesse pointed out, university doesn't take any stake or equity in these companies. We're sort of guiding them and guarding them from the, you know, harshness of the world, and giving them an opportunity to succeed or maybe fail in the process, but, you know, get back on the feet and apply again and do something else.
Well, let's talk a little bit about failure. The material that I've read over the years on entrepreneurs say that sometimes it's not the success that ultimately is important, especially early on in your career, but it's fallen sometimes flat on your face and seeing
Absolutely.
That this idea didn't work. Is from a teaching standpoint, as a faculty member, is that bad? Is that a failure if a business fails, a business idea like this
No,
fails?
No. It's and that one makes entrepreneurship exciting, is that failure is not an F word. And the F word is finished. When you're finished, then it's a bad word. Failure is a part of the process. It shows you that you have to change direction. The entrepreneurship is different from other business activities in a sense that you deal with a lot of uncertainties. You don't know what the future brings. You don't have well-defined resources. So you have to make a lot of decisions kind of blindly and reassess your situation as you move along. So failure is an essential part of this process. And typically, nobody makes it big from the first try. So you have to fail. And there's a saying in entrepreneurship, you fail fast and quickly. And
get the failure out of the way.
Get the failure out of the way. In many respects, entrepreneurship is similar to research, where, you know, you don't know the outcome. You're going in different directions and trying to find something that you have a hypothesis and you try to verify it. And it is very similar. You kind of get accustomed to going the wrong directions and then retrieving and going in different directions. So for a faculty, it's very natural to be engaged in this activity.
Jesse, does failure scare you at all?
No, we failed a number of times. I can tell you firsthand. We actually had a retail store at the Grand Avenue Mall trying to sell 3D printers and a number of different things wrong with that. But, you know, we learned from the failure, and that's the important thing. In entrepreneurship, they tell us your rate of growth isn't measured by money. It's measured by how quickly you're learning, how much you're failing, and how much you're willing to try to fail.
Well, but doesn't money motivate you at all? Is that one factor that is in the back of your mind as you're thinking about all the hours you're putting in?
Well, you know, we're not in this for the quick buck. We're in this for the big business that will let us retire at 40, you know. So failure does not scare me if it's within the next 5 or 10 years. If it's for the rest of my life, then I'm doing something wrong.
Did it take you, was it hard at all to get out of the safe zone that you might have been in as a college freshman when you first arrived on campus thinking, well, there's a logical end or a logical conclusion to this track I'm on?
Oh, yeah. It was scary. I left my cubicle job to work on the business, and I had comfy AC and nice pay, but you know, I was bored, and the fact of it is I could do without a paycheck as long as I have some kind of excitement in my life. That's just me personally, but I think you'll hear that a lot with entrepreneurs, that they need something to keep them entertained and keep them learning.
You know, there's a very vibrant, growing community of innovators and young entrepreneurs here in Milwaukee. Mike is one of the companies or organizations, I should say, that organizes a venue to encourage the very sort of thing you're doing. Do you think Milwaukee is ready for this? Do you see yourself sticking around in Milwaukee after you're done with your experiences?
Oh, yeah, I believe so. There's a huge student population that's getting out of college now. With all the colleges in the just downtown area alone, you have Marquette, MSOE, and UW-Milwaukee. And you have a lot of young people that are looking to be thrown in the professional world, and the corporate world isn't for a lot of them. So a lot of them are starting to realize entrepreneurship is their option. And there's a lot of other venues other than, you mentioned Mike, that's a great one. There's also Bucket Works, which is the office space we work out of. They have dozens of other companies like ourselves. And I think from what I'm seeing, it may be biased since this is my world, but I see a lot of new entrepreneurs and companies growing, and new fostering environments every day in Milwaukee.
I agree with Jesse, and the ecosystem in Milwaukee is definitely on the rise. It's developing. The entrepreneurial community is becoming multifaceted, and there's a lot of different activities in mobile app development and now hardware development. But there's also a lot of activities in social entrepreneurship, especially coming out of Marquette. So there's a lot of great things. And we at UWM, we're also trying to change the culture, you know, making sure that people who want to be entrepreneurs, they actually have an opportunity to do that. But I think it's more important thing is to look at the Milwaukee community and state and see them realizing that if you want to attract talent and keep it in the state, you need to help out. So we're trying to reach out to, you know, to the state, to the UW system, talking to Greater Milwaukee Committee, and making sure that they're on board with what we are doing.
Because it's literally a whole new world with the world being flat, right? And the fact that, you know, great big monolithic companies are not necessarily the places that are going to be the future for the next two or three decades.
Right.
Great, great. Well, both of you have done an amazing job, Ilya, in terms of your work getting this initiative launched at the university. I presume you're going to continue this next year. You're going to have another competition?
Yes. Well, thanks for asking. And I have to give credit to my teammates, Nathaniel Stern and Brian Thompson. They're a fantastic team, great to work with. And we are actually adding another team member, Michael Hostad, who is working with the mobile app development at UWM. And we are launching a next year competition fairly soon, in a couple of months. And in addition to the hardware track, we'll have a mobile app track where the students with the ideas for software development, for mobile app development, will have a chance to launch a business. We're also talking to consortiums in the city and try to launch tracks in other areas like clean energy and water and so on. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, best of luck, Ilya, in terms of continuing the initiative. And Jesse, best of luck. I hope you make millions.
I hope you
too. Thank you.
Great, great, great idea. Ilya Avdiv, UWM's assistant professor in mechanical engineering, and Jesse DePinto, a senior graduating soon from UWM, both talking about the Student Startup Challenge, this amazing, amazing program that puts real money in the hands of students to start their businesses. We wish you and all of them great luck, Jesse. That's all for this edition of UWM Today. We'll see you next week at the same time, everybody. Take care. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.